Welcome to our services this morning at Grace Fellowship of Georgetown. And God's moving here today. The love of God's in the air. And there's just a desire just to sit and marinate with Jesus. Oh, believe you can sit and marinate with Jesus while I teach the Word. How's that sound today? Amen? And so, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Job. Job. Chapter 42. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting there myself. Job chapter 42. Have you got it? Now, we understand in the book of Job, Job was, because of fear, many catastrophes came on his life, on his health, on his children, on his wealth. And he was virtually stripped of all of his blessings in the natural. So his friends came along and started accusing him, saying, well, that would not have happened had you not been a sinner, had you not been disobeying God, had you not made so many errors. And Job kept proclaiming, I'm the righteousness of God. I hold fast my righteousness. I won't let it go. Then God showed up and let him know, you're not righteous without me, basically. Amen? Who are you to declare you're the greatest thing ever? And it says at the end, in chapter 42 and verse 10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. When Job became an intercessor, when Job prayed for those that had risen up against him, now it calls him his friends, and they thought they were helping him, but at the same time, really, they were condemning him. But this is when he prayed for those that had risen up and spoken against him, God turned his captivity. There was a loosing in his own life, that he then received twice as much as he had before. There's a power in intercession. I mean, Jesus wasn't just, you know, trying to tell us some nice platitudes when he said, pray for those who use you, persecute you, despitefully use you, right? He wasn't just trying to tell us, wouldn't it be nice if you blessed your enemies? He was talking about spiritual principles. Amen? That you're choosing a higher road, you're choosing love, you're choosing seed versus vengeance. Because God said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. And so when he prayed for these people, when he prayed for his friends or accusers, God gave him twice as much as he had before all the calamities came upon him. I'm telling you, when you're praying out, it becomes seed to receive in. When you pray out, God will raise up other people to pray for you. And all of a sudden you'll see harvest coming that maybe you weren't even believing for. It's exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. So we have a spiritual principle here with intercession. We've been teaching on intercession here for several weeks. And we've been talking about how we're the gates of heaven, right? And we'll look at that verse again before we're done. But I want to turn back to Matthew chapter 16, where we left off last week. Matthew chapter 16. Thank you, Jesus. And today may be it'll be a rarity, but it may be a session where we share back and forth together. I'll be asking you some questions. Input. How's that sound today? Amen. And you're welcome to speak up today. Just keep the center aisle clear. Matthew chapter 16, they were asking Jesus, who do men say that I am? And they were guessing. And finally, Jesus said to them, but who do you say I am? And Peter spoke up, right? And said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, we tend to read over that verse sometimes like it's, you know, no big deal. Oh, yeah, the Spirit of God showed it to him. But what we have here is a spiritual key aspect of Christianity. The ability of the Father in heaven to give you revelation. The ability of God to reveal, the creator of all things, the creator of the universe, to specifically give you information, often personal information. To receive a download from heaven. Is that not amazing? I mean, if you've ever seen the videos of how small we are compared to the entire universe, I mean, just the earth is tiny compared to the whole universe, and you on the earth are tiny compared to the earth. It's like we're a speck on a speck of a speck. Amen? Multiplied exponentially in the whole universe, and God made it all. And yet He wants to give you personal downloads from heaven. Oh, glory to God. See, this was no minor thing. Jesus said, you are blessed. Say, blessed. You are blessed because you can receive heavenly downloads. And as Christians, that's the reason we were saved, is to be able to have communion with God. The veil was torn in two so we could come boldly into the Holy of Holies and fellowship with God, the Creator of all, and receive this revelation. See, when people say, well, God told me this, what are they talking about? I received a heavenly download. I received a word from the Creator that passed through every type of opposition that could be, you know, in place, and He spoke straight into me what He wants me to do. A revelation about the Word, a revelation prophetically about the end times, whatever He might say to you. Amen. Where to find your lost tool, which He has spoken to me many, many times. Usually almost daily. I'm saying, God, where is that at? And boom, I'll get a download. Amen. And so, and usually it's because Patty moved it. I'm just cheating. He'll say, your wife moved that tool. It's over there. She hid it from you. Amen.
One of these days I'm going to rearrange them. Just
to... I didn't ask for any input. I didn't ask for input yet. You're jumping the gun. But when Jesus said, you received it from my Father, the Spirit of God will reveal this unto you, He's talking about a key of the kingdom. In fact, it's the master key. There's nothing in your walk with God more important than being able to hear Him. Understand, the most important thing you possess is your righteous nature through being born again. But it connects you to God in a fashion you now have rights to hear God. And how ridiculous is this for people, pastors, to say, we don't hear God anymore. Oh, my! If I don't hear God, I've been deceived for 35 years because He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I'm His own, right? Aren't you glad I didn't break into song? And so that's a key aspect here. We shouldn't just read over it. We should say, thank God you speak to me. Thank God you give me heavenly revelation. Then he goes on and he says, you're blessed because of it. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter's not the rock. That word Peter means a small stone, right? The rock is the ability to receive heavenly downloads. Try this one. Say, I receive heavenly downloads. I know His voice. Amen. I'm a sheep. His sheep know His voice. That's me. You have that. Right? And so that's the key. That's the rock of revelation. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we could go on and read about the keys of the kingdom, which are the spiritual principles that let us access the power of heaven, right? But we're not going there at this time. I want to focus on these gates of hell. And we mentioned this last week about what are the gates of hell. And when God showed this to me, 8 days ago? It was a revelation to me. Actually, it was last Sunday morning. That I've always had this mindset that the gates of hell are these like spiritual gates out there that the church is bombarding with intercession, trying to break them off the hinges. And in fact, the gates of hell are what keep revelation knowledge from coming to the people of God. Amen. Like the National Education Association, the NEA. Your wicked swamp political leaders. How about the fake news, the media outlets? Those are gates of hell. Amen. You know, it's very hard to be able to teach evolution in the school. I mean, to teach creation in the schools today. Why? A gateway of false evolutionary teaching has been put up. Those are gates of hell. Amen. In fact, we're going to look at there's gates in many different areas of this nation that are blocking the people of God from receiving the revelation of God. Amen. Those are the gates of hell. Now hold that thought and go over to Habakkuk chapter 2. Your Bible should fall open to that place. Mine does. It just popped right to that spot once I let it. Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're going to be here before the day's over again, probably, if not today, next week. Verse 1, I will stand up on my watch and set me upon the tower. He's talking about intercession. Now, where I want to go here soon is about standing on a tower. Amen? Which is the highest place of intercession. Habakkuk was at the highest place of intercession, the highest elevated point to see the furthest, right? And I watched to see what he'll say unto me, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me. He received a heavenly download. Same as Peter, right? Same Holy Spirit revealing to him. And said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Here God gives Habakkuk a vision that says it's for the end times. It's going to seem like it's running late, but it's not going to be late. It's going to be on time. And he says, write this vision down. Understand the end time vision he got, he received while in the tower. The high level of intercession. I believe the higher you go in intercession, the more God reveals to you what's about to take place. Or maybe even from a further place away in time. And so he says, write this vision. Now, verse 14 is the vision. Go over there. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth's going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now listen. Apparently, for the glory to come, there must first be a release of the knowledge of the glory. You can't understand the glory is coming through us, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't receive by faith what you don't know exists. So before we manifest this glory, we must first have knowledge of it. Not that it just exists, but how do we manifest it? What are the steps to manifest God's end time glory, right? And we're learning that in here. Line upon line, precept upon precept, as we mentioned at the outset this morning. And so, the knowledge of the glory is the precursor to manifesting the glory. Does anybody have a problem with that? Then he says, as the waters cover the seas. Now, waters in Scripture represent the Word of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 says, we are cleansed by the washing of the waters of the Word of God. Amen. Habakkuk here said in verse 2, he says, I'm going to stand upon the tower, no, verse 1, and I'll watch to see what he'll say to me, what I'll answer when I'm reproved. Well, when Habakkuk received heavenly downloads, he knew it usually involved him changing in some fashion. There was a washing necessary of his life by that word he received. Amen. So when it says the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, that waters are the outpouring of the word of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit upon the world. And the waters covering the seas, you pretty much can't separate the seas from water. Amen. But the seas represent seas of people, the multitudes. Amen. Those in the earth that know nothing about the glory of God. And it says, the glory's coming as knowledge comes to, of the word, come to the multitudes. Do you follow me on this? Now understand, you in here, we're not trying to elevate you or me or this church, but we can recognize this as a fact. You in here know more than 98% of all Christians in the world about the Word of God. You do. The average Christian is just raised on milk. Amen? They know the cross, that's about it. But you've been learning deep things, though. You've been chewing on meat for some time. You understand faith. You understand the power of your words. You understand God's bringing His glory in the end times. So, you have this knowledge. And if you have it, why doesn't everybody have it? I mean, if you and other churches like this one, you know, end time revivalist churches, have knowledge of the glory, have knowledge of what God's going to do, have knowledge of how to live in the kingdom of God. We haven't fully manifested, but we're learning about it, right? If you have it, why doesn't every Christian have it? You want to know why? The gates of hell. The gates of, why aren't people flocking to this church in great numbers? Gates of hell. People in the area have made up rumors about the church, lies about the church. Say, you know, they're just after your money. Gates of hell. Anything that's holding back the revelation of the Word from getting to the peoples are gates of hell. Do you follow me? You know, how come so many people now, you know, still don't support the president? Because they believe lies birthed by the gates of hell. Amen. That's my opinion. Amen. It happens to be true, but that's my opinion. Why is it that the whole church worldwide isn't praying in the Holy Ghost? They've been told that it's of the devil. Amen. That you're a fanatic if you gates of hell. See, the gates of hell function by lies. They function by mistruths and half-truths. They function by deception. Amen. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. That's how he puts his gates up. Amen. Not to mention witchcraft, fear, and intimidation. So, when it says in Habakkuk 2:14, the glory is coming through knowledge of the glory, coming to the whole earth, as the waters cover the sea, apparently God wants to take down these gates of hell. Apparently God intends to pull down the gates of hell to let revelation hit the multitudes to bring them into the kingdom. Now I believe one of the key aspects of bringing the gates of hell down is for the remnant church to manifest the glory. Remember, the glory fixes everything. And God says, when you manifest the glory, when you arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, it says your sons and daughters shall come from far. Apparently the glory has the ability to penetrate beyond the gates of hell and bring revelation to the people. You need to be there. Your walk with God and walking in the peace and the joy and love of God act as a gate penetrator. Wherever you go, people say, how come you're so happy? Why are things working so well for you? How did you get that revelation? How did you get that information? The Spirit of God revealed it to me as I prayed in the Holy Ghost. And then you let your words penetrate beyond the gate as well. See, the light will penetrate beyond, oh glory to, will penetrate beyond the gates first, because nothing travels faster than the speed of light. But then the speed of sound through what you speak, which is a fraction of the speed of light, will then be able to follow where the light is penetrated. Amen. And too many times we're trying to bombard gates, you know, strongholds in people's thinking with just words and not letting the light first penetrate to loosen the soil. Amen. That's why I'm not into a whole lot of preaching at everybody you meet without first them having a desire to hear what you have to say, because the light of your life has penetrated and caused them to desire what you have. Amen. So the glory is coming as the gates of hell are brought down so the knowledge of the glory can get to the seas of the peoples. Amen. As the water covers the seas. Are you seeing this? So we are called to be gatekeepers that break down the gates of hell. Now, I want to give you another view of this. Several years back, Michael Crotts, who became a Georgia State Senator, had died in the hospital, was caught up to heaven, and Jesus showed him seven mountains that determine who controls operations on the earth. Seven mind-molding mountains. Bill Bright and someone else, the name escapes me for now, a lady, also received these revelations about the same time. But seven mountains that the enemy controls, that if we're gonna manifest God's glory on earth, if we're gonna manifest, bring forth His harvest, these mountains have to be conquered. Because they overlook and control everything around them. Amen? And so, I want to show you these mountains this morning. Let me write this real quick. Okay. Amen. These seven mountains. The first one we're going to call the church. Let's go ahead and label them. We'll go back and talk to them. Then there's the family. There are the arts and entertainment. There's the finance community. There's the government systems. There's the media. And let me get my seventh one. I just drew a blank. Education, one of the main ones. Thank you. Education. And what's been discovered is whoever rises to the top of these mountains and controls, how can I say, opinions of these seven areas control nations. Amen. There are some nations that are controlled by their religious system. Others are dominated by their financial system. Amen. And we could go all the way through this. Some are controlled by other areas. America has its own areas that it's controlled by. But right now, if you look at America, all seven of these are controlled by wickedness. At least they're dominating men's opinions as far as what's being brought forth. You know, one of the things Lance Wallner brings forth is that the homosexual population in the United States is less than 1%. Now, it's rising now because they're teaching kids to be homosexual. And they're trying to encourage children to do this because it invites so many wicked spirits in. But less than 1% of the nation is homosexual. But look how they're dominating the media. Look how they're dominating laws. Look how they're dominating the community now. Even swaying men's opinion by less than 1%. What happened? They are controlling these seven mountains, including now much of the church. Which church was you just came out in favor of homosexual? Well, the Episcopals have been for a long time, but other churches are turning, saying we need to reconsider how we view homosexuality and consider ordaining homosexual ministers. I cannot imagine the opinion of the original church leaders and the national leaders, founders of this nation, what they think about that. Amen. Can I get crude just for a minute? I'm going to do it in a PG fashion. You know, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And there's no doubt homosexuality was one of the main aspects of it, where they're crying out for the angels to come out, men calling for men to come out because they wanted to use them. There's one of the books that was not approved as canon of Scripture, but there is historical information in it, is the book of Jasher. And I read this yesterday from Perry Stone, who spends like 8 hours a day in the Word. The book of Jasher lists that in Sodom, when visitors would come to town, the men would take them of the city, bind them in the streets so they could be publicly used. That's how wicked Sodom was. Amen? And now we've got, you know, this nation that's being elevated as if it's okay. We also now have a move in one part of our government system that says if they are elected as president, if any minister preaches against homosexuality, they'll take away their tax exemption status. You have got to be kidding me. So now you're going to tell the church what they can preach? So much for freedom of religion there, right? Amen. In many people's minds, that means freedom from religion. Any bounds or bondages or moral standards at all established by the church. So, the enemy has taken over, even in this nation, every one of these mountains. And so up here, we have a few leaders, you know, however many. You know, in Hollywood, even way back in the 30s and 40s, most of the male actors were homosexual, or a good percentage of them. And men you thought were just wonderful were homosexual. Cary Grant, Randolph Scott, Rock Hudson, goes on and on. Shocking. So we have leaders controlling these mountains. Down here are the seas of people. Including down here be the so much for that one. Down here among the seas of people, told you I'd write smaller. Down here, the remnant church and the multitudes are down under the seas of people. Amen. Kept from the mountaintop. So what keeps us from the top of the mountain? Gates of hell. This is what the gates of hell do. The enemy has put his people at the top of all these areas of mind-molding influence and then established gates that no one else can come to the top of the mountain and dethrone them. And they always have their successors in line. They ought to know who's going to follow them in power, especially even in Washington. It's already predetermined what set of people are qualified to come up on that mountain. That's why Trump is so hated by so many in Washington, because he was an outsider. He was not chosen to be a successor of power in Washington. And he's a threat to controlling that mountain. Amen. And God has to take the mountain of government before many of these others will fall. So, here we have these gates of hell, all established on each of the mountains. So, let's choose a mountain. Let me pick one. Well, let's go with the government. We started there. What would be some of the gates in the mountain of government? Yeah, that's definitely. It would be illicit laws. How about this? Fairness. For a while there, for many years, decades, it was churches can't mention anything politically during election season. And it was really bent where you can't even talk about politics, period. Illicit laws. In fact, one of the key gates the government now has finances. I forget how much money it takes just to run for a state senator, for a state congressman, how much money you have to raise. And of course, there are wealthy people that are the George Soroses that are funding their own pre-chosen candidates. And we could go to look at the different laws that act as gates to the normal man and woman coming up in government. And then once you get there, whether you know it or not, we have in this state one of the most godly governors in the nation. Governor Bevin has worked tirelessly to shut down abortion in Kentucky. Amen? To liberate the church to be an influence in the state. He's allowed the Bible to be brought back in the schools and teach Bible classes in the schools. He had bring your Bible to class, and yet many Christians don't know this. I'm going somewhere. Next Monday, this, the 21st, I get to go hear him again personally with a group of pastors coming in. This is a godly man. Amen. And he's being attacked wrongfully about, you know, cutting teachers' pensions when, in fact, they've increased since he's gone in there. He's just had to change the program so to stay solvent for the years to come. But what happened is the media mountain guards this. I'm sorry, wrong one. I wonder where I was going. The media mountain guards this gate. How much good news are you hearing through the media about the president? You can turn your radio on anytime, and you can hear conservative speakers all day on the radio, and then when the news comes on every 30 minutes, Trump is from hell. Every day. Everything is going wrong. Why? The media is a gatekeeper for the government system. And if somebody does get in an office and try to do things well, guess what? The media's not going to report it. But if something goes wrong, it'll be all over the news. Amen. And you don't have to watch much fake news to know this is true. In fact, the media is such an important aspect for the enemy to control all the other six gates that they've now taken control of Fox News for the most part, and they brought the Drudge Report. So now they're not reliable anymore. So now go to Breitbart. It seems to be the best one I found out there. Breitbart News. There's an app for it. So the government controls the laws. And guess what? You get into government, say you're a Christian and you campaign and you raise enough money, you make an office, maybe a congressman spot or a Senate spot. When you get there, the ones that are there are still going to shut you out. You won't make any important committees. You won't make any more important positions unless you do it their way, unless you sell out and do it their way. They're not going to fund you. They're not going to help you. And the media is going to report everything bad they can about you. So once you get into government, it's still hard to rise up to the higher echelons to control. In fact, if you looked at it, is this okay with you this morning? If you looked at it, there's a series of gates you have to get through. Amen. And you know what I love? What I love? I can't help this. Y'all bear with me. The president did this. He just jumped it all. Yeah. Remember we said God's got gate jumpers? Yeah. He jumped the whole thing to a top spot, and they are totally in meltdown mode over it. You know why? Is glory to God. See, hadn't planned all this. What happened is when he jumped to the top spot, he gained revelation of how all this operates. He got all their information or access to get it. All their internal spy networks, how the FBI and the CIA is being working against conservatism, has been worked against truth. The whole thing. He now has the ability to unveil that. And he has the ability, not by himself, but with our prayers and with those that support him, to bring down the gates of hell over the government system. Not to mention, part of this government system. How many know there's three parts to our government? Executive, legislative, and judicial. He's appointing all these conservative judges in here. And a whole bunch of them is still being held up by our Senate that is supposedly Republican-controlled. But see, there's wickedness in there as well that needs to be drained. So here we have a whole set of gates over the government system. Over here to arts and entertainment. Another NEA, National Endowment for the Arts, funded many years ago an artwork of Jesus in a vial of urine. Remember this? Craziness. And they fund that. Call it art. And the media, arts and entertainment, have their own whole set of gates. Patty read Jimmy Stewart's biography. She always liked Jimmy Stewart. Read his biography a couple years ago. And Jimmy Stewart said way back, I guess in the 40s, 30s or 40s, was it MGM the studio he worked with? MGM, we believe it is, built a house of prostitution at the edge of the lot and encouraged their members to go there. Why? Because they wanted sellouts to be voices for the entertainment industry. And Spencer Tracy, homosexual, totally homosexual, never suspected it. Amen? So it's information. Information's coming out now. And so if you would not visit the casting couch, what's his name? Weiner? Weinstein. If you weren't agreeable to spend time with Weinstein, there went your actress opportunities. As young actors, you had to be willing to sleep with some of the older actors. Kevin Spacey turns out to be a total pedophile. Pedophile. Homosexual pedophile. If you wouldn't cooperate with these, the doors were shut to you. So perversion became a gateway. You'd be willing to pervert yourself, a gateway to rise up in the entertainment industry. And of course, then demonic spirits come in with that. And apparently, perversion is also a gateway in the government system. If you want to fly on Epstein's jet to Pedophile Island, they're all intertwined with these seven mountains. Amen? And so now you watch the Oscars, which please don't. I haven't seen them in decades, probably. But it's all just bashing of the president. And why? They've made it through some gates. And there were standards had to be set. You know, people say, well, why are there, if the media is fake, why are there so many people that are operating fake media? Because you had to be willing to lie to rise up in positions there. How about the media? Let's go to it. Gates. I listen to some of the different news broadcasts, the radio programs, and I think, why would you say that? You know it's a lie. Why would a newscaster say this when you know it's a lie, when you know it's twisted? Now, there's a place you get where you've lied enough, you believe the lies. You know, you believe the lies once you tell them often enough. But there's got to be a place where you know that's a lie. You know, it's twisted information. It's, you know, where they show the different videos and they take pieces out of context and piece them together to make it say what they want it to say. Remember the young boy up in Cincinnati that was mocked and, I mean, publicly scourged for mocking a Native American? And it turned out it was a Native American coming up and getting in his face. He was just staying quiet. And they had the whole video clip, but they cut out what they wanted to put it together for their narrative. Knew it was a lie, and people reported it. How do you do that? Because you want to get through the next gate. You want to get through the next gateway. So what do? You're willing to lie. Amen. And they'll let you through. Then how willing are you to go find junk or trash or garbage on conservative politicians or conservative representatives, conservative ministers? How willing are you? You know what's interesting to me? How many major miracles are taking place worldwide right now? I'm talking about people being raised from the dead all over the place. Blind eyes opening. Lame people walking. It's there. When's the last time you saw any reported on the news? It's easy to find out. You could put somebody in fact, they used to have people follow Benny Hinn around to report on his miracle campaigns. And I never saw a single one report on any miracles. They just reported on some naysayers. A report he raised another offering. And they attacked him. See, another gateway for media is, are you willing to compromise truth? Find whatever you can if you have to make it up on conservatives, and we'll let you through that gateway. You know, Christine Ford and the Kavanaugh thing. What a joke. What a joke. Somebody willing to sell out at that level, but hey, she was going through a gate. Attempting to. And what happens? The media picks it up. Oh, we found a gate jumper here. Or a gate qualifier. Let's report this. And to get all the way to the top of the media mountain, you have to have zero integrity to get there. Unless you're a gate jumper, you have to have zero integrity to get to the top of the presidential mountain or the government mountains. Zero. To lie openly. And if nothing else, hinder the truth from coming forth. Gates of hell, keeping the knowledge of the glory, getting to the seas. Amen. Preventing the water from getting to the seas. Education. We could go all day on that one, couldn't we? And it's not just what you can teach. Can't teach the Bible. You know, they took that out in 63. We've seen a collapse of society since then. Of social norms. So it's not just the Bible being taken out of schools. It's what you have to agree to be qualified to teach in the universities. You might think, hey, if you go to school and you get your degree and you do well in school and, you know, you apply yourself, you can be a college professor. Maybe not. What is your world political view? Amen. And they're going to make sure they put people in influential positions in the universities, for the most part, who agree with evolution. Amen. Who agree now with socialism. That's one of the main things being taught in universities now, socialism. Which you have to be a flippin' idiot to believe in socialism. Can I use the word flippin'? Double marshmallows. Amen. There's never been a more disproven national financial structure than socialism. It's failed for millennium everywhere it's been tried. Amen. Did you hear about the college professor that failed an entire class? Have you heard that story? This was reported as true. A college professor told his class, we're going to implement grade averaging this semester as a test. We're going to do a test. And what we're going to do is we're going to take everybody's grade and average them together, and that'll be the average for the whole class. Have you heard this story? He said, we're going to take whatever you make, we'll average everybody's grade together, divide it by the number of students taking a test. That's the average for the whole class. So he gave the first class and A bunch of people made A's, some made B's, some C's, some, you know, bombed it. They averaged together and everybody got like a B. But the smart student said, wait a minute. Why am I trying? I made an A and I got a B. So they quit applying themselves. They took the next test. The average was a C. And the B student said, why am I trying? Why am I applying myself? I made a B and the guy got a C. They quit applying themselves. Well, you get the image. After about three or four tests, everybody flunked the class, flunked the tests, which is how socialism works. When you give everybody the same thing, people are driven through motivations of personal gain of some sort. And when you take that away, they lose the incentive to apply. And socialism societies have always collapsed. They always will. And it's not biblical, whether you know it or not. God in the Word instituted capitalism. He that has 10, give him the one with one that did nothing. Amen. Then they said, but he already has 10. God didn't even respond. So, education system has its own gateways that you have to go through to be able to be promoted to influential levels at that. See, the devil knows the power of these seven mountains. Should we go on with this? Which one should we do next? How about finance? That seems like the next likely one. What are some of the financial gateways? What's that? Wall Street, heavily led by liberal mindsets, or anti-conservative mindsets. Wall Street. How about this one? It was actually admitted that the IRS was holding back tax exemption status from conservative groups. So taxes are applied. How about who you audit? I heard Rush Limbaugh talk about one time that for years and years he was audited every year. How many times do you suppose they audited Howard Stern or Bill Maher? They're used as tools. The enemy's got these gateways up. And finance is one of the main things he's gonna use. And really what the finance area does, that mountain does, much like the media, the finance system becomes a gate, evil gatekeeper to the others. Media and finance together are used to influence the other gates, to keep them established. Amen. Then the family. What gates can we see be putting up there? Abortion, that's a good one. Abortion, how about same-sex marriage? I'm going to say something that's going to be quite controversial. It's not meant to attack anybody. But I'm going to tell you another gateway that's been established in the family. It's our welfare programs that are structured in a way that families are rewarded for not having a man in the house. Told you it could be. I'm all for helping people. But when you set up a system that rewards single family households, you'll get single family households. And when you do that, it causes collapsing in the family structures. Because God ordained for men and women to take care of the kids. Now, if you're a single parent, I understand it's a hard place to be. And, you know, you may have to be there. But you shouldn't have a system that rewards it. Amen. And that's what we had for many years. I think it's shifting some, but for many years, that's what you had. And you'd go, you'd see people being rewarded that acted like they were married, but couldn't actually get married because they would lose certain benefits. Amen. So that's my man. That's not my husband. That's my man. Or whatever. And so it was a government established barrier to effective family. Amen. Public education? Absolutely. How about this one? Again, I'm going to be controversial. Y'all bear with me. I have some opinions on some certain things. I'm all for equal rights for everybody. Race, creed, whatever, including gender. I believe there's only two of them, but I feel there should be equal rights for both of them, men and women. But another thing that really helped collapse the family structure in America was radical feminism. Women thought they had to have a job, had to have a career, had to be a CEO, when really God put a heart in to take care of the children, but they thought because now society demanded they only successful if they have a position making money, that women left the house, entered the workplace. Do you follow me? And now you've got latchkey kids. All designed, at least operating, to help damage the family structure. Not to mention the impact it had on our education system. When I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama during the middle of the space race. My father was transferred from Kansas to Alabama with the space race, with Boeing. And I went to a high school that was totally filled with kids whose parents were engineers and scientists. Now, back in the 60s when I was going to, you know, most of my schooling, feminism hadn't really risen up yet. And so you had wives of engineers and scientists that weren't out there trying to be CEO. And again, nothing wrong with that. Fetch your heart, do it. Just don't feel like you're driven that you're not a success if you don't. I believe the greatest success we have are those that raise up kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Nothing, but equally as great. Do you follow me? But back when I was in school, you had these brilliant women that if they wanted to work, they usually became school teachers. And you had all these brilliant school teachers teaching the kids. Now, again, not teaching, attacking teachers today, but all the most brilliant people are becoming CEOs. Amen. And it's had an impact on the education system. Again, not saying it's good or bad, I'm just saying it's had an impact. Feminism has had an effect on the nation, on the family structure. How about the church? Are there any gateways in the church? When's the last time you watched a religious commentary on a news outlet? And it was a conservative Christian talking about the power of God. Like never. Amen. In fact, the enemy has established a whole set of gates over the church. We could all say fall under the definition of religion. Religiosity. Man-made systems and structures. That if you want recognition as being the church, you got to be willing to compromise truth, compromise the word. And now we have entire, what would be the word I want? Denominational structures that used to be extremely conservative that are turning themselves over to other ways of thinking. The enemy's got gateways even in Christianity. Amen. So the enemy has established. Oh, I'm going to get this my introduction. The enemy has established gates in all of these seven mountains. But part of the visitation with Jesus that Michael Cross had was there was going to be an eighth mountain arise. This eighth mountain would come down from heaven. I should have done this lower down here. This eighth mountain would come down from heaven and crush these other seven mountains. And of course, that mountain is the kingdom of God. God in the end times intends to bring His kingdom effects to earth. We call it the manifestation of the glory. Remember, the glory fixes everything. It's going to bring His kingdom to earth to crush control of these seven mountains. Are you following me? And I believe He wants to use us to do it. Now, with that in mind, turn over to Psalm 24. Let's read this passage again. We're not going to get to towers today. Psalm 24, are you there? Let's just go to verse number 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. When He comes in, He's bringing His kingdom with Him. Amen. And so, it says we're gates. And I believe God intends, through intercession and through people acting as community ambassadors or similar efforts to penetrate the community. Primarily, God intends through intercession to establish His gates of heaven. That would be us, the church, releasing the anointing of God through these gates to jump the gates of hell, penetrate the wicked barriers, and dominate all seven of these mountains with God's glory. Let me give you an example. First of all, let me throw this in. Remind me to tell you the example. So God's got us as gates of heaven and intercession above. And He's got us as gates penetrating through community ambassadorship, attacking from beneath all seven mountains, so that in between we crush these gates of hell. So here's an example. I mentioned before, President Trump is a gate jumper. He went from entertainment and finance. Finance first, then entertainment, right? And jumped all the gates of hell to establish himself on top. Can I back up here? Maybe this will help some people. You can read my chart, right? Donald Trump started off in this mountain, finance. And for decades, he was in the finance realm. And how can I say this? Was recognized as one of them. His philandering, his words, his actions. I'm sure there's some unscrupulous activities in between there of some level, or some, you know, hardcore financial activities. They recognized him as one of theirs. And he rose way up in this financial mountain, unsaved. You're not going to rise very high up in that mountain and be saved. He was unsaved. So because of that recognition on that mountain, they promoted him clear over here to arts and entertainment, way up high on that mountain, and gave him the number one TV show. You know, he gave him the opportunity, became the number one TV show with The Apprentice and The Celebrity Apprentice. Jumped way up on that mountain. And then out of this position of this mountain, he says, okay, I'm going to run for the top of this mountain. And of course, they laughed. But in between, a miracle happened. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he got born again. And no matter what access Hollywood has, it can't undo what God does through the born-again experience. You follow me? Your past is past. Your future is unlimited. He got born again. He came in contact. He was put in contact. I believe through intercession, bringing him the right connections. Intercession, bringing him the right contacts, the right divine appointments. Brought to him Paula White and others that lead him into baptism of the Spirit, lead him into the true roots of conservative Christianity. And he now is about to take control of this mountain. They don't want to see him on anymore. Had he still been evil, it would have been different. But now he's changed and they know it. And then, what do you think allowed him to be elected president? What would you guess allowed him to be elected president? Intercession. Enter the saints praying, God, do not let the Pantichrist be elected as our next president. I'm sorry, just came out. The Hildebeest. I'm sorry. The church is knowing what she represents, knowing what she's going to attempt to accomplish, spoken out. So they rise up and say, we don't know everything about Trump, but we know he's not her. And the church went to prayer. And just a few nights before the election, we're over here praying, and a whole group of us are in Friday night, all night prayer. We get caught up in a common vision for about 2 hours. We're all seeing the same thing, describing it. I should sing the same thing, describing what we're seeing. And that was the night Pastor Nancy got the word that God was going to give Trump the election and showed her the states which were going to go for Trump, including Pennsylvania. Showed her that state. Intercession. See, it was considered a lock Hillary was going to win. Every poll said she's going to win. But intercession, I believe in all these different states around, caused certain events to take place, certain messages to get out that undercut her ability to win. So Trump jumping gates here, the right representatives, you follow me, these conservative, spirit-filled believers were rising up, met intercession coming down, we end up with Trump taking that mountain. But now he's got to stay in a position, and we have to support him in prayer and have the right people around him. Protecting his life. They want to kill him right now. Pray divine protection, angelic protection. Nothing will work against him. Now he's got to work. Despite the efforts of all of these other mountains to now support these gates, they're throwing in everything they can behind these gates to keep these gates intact. No matter what it takes, now it's Ukraine. You follow me? Now it's, you know, Joe and Hunter Biden violate every kind of law you can imagine. And they try to pin it on Trump for exposing, you know, potentially exposing. They're reinforcing these gates, I think, to keep the president who jumped the gate from tearing down those gates in that system. Intercession makes all of this possible. Intercession is going to bring the glory of God. We are the gates heaven's going to use to penetrate darkness to bring the glory to earth. And now we see some of the mechanics of it. Amen. Did you get anything out of this? If you were revelating today, if you were getting a heavenly download yourself today on some things, I want to hear about it. You can text me, email me, whatever you want to do. But if God was showing you some things, let's add it to it. I want to hear what God was showing you, because we're just touching the highlights today. And we may have you share it with the whole group. See what God says. Carol, come up here a minute. I had you pray before, didn't I? Did I ever pray for everybody before? Come up here then. Father, in this church, there are none sick, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife, none in unforgiveness, everyone letting the Spirit of God cleanse them with the washing of the water of the Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Close the service in prayer. Cast out any devils you see you want to cast out. Amen.
Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We worship you. We love you. We're thankful for the revelations that you give to Pastor Jack to make things clearer to us about the Bible so we know how to live and walk in a better way, in a more triumphant way. And we just give you thanks and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. See, now you're qualified to take the gospel through the whole earth. Shall the love of God be a blessing?